Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben. It certainly isn't raining in Hawaii like it is at TPC Sawgrass for the Players' Championship, but they're scheduled to start just about now. Our weather in Hawaii, we're going to have some windward and mauka showers and some mostly clear skies on the leeward side. Depending where you live, the high will be 86, the low will be 66. And the breezy trade winds are with us, 15 to 25 miles per hour. We've got some tee times open. We have one at Poipu Bay, 11:30. Kiahuna has a 10:20. And the Kauai Interscholastic Federation tourney is underway at Kiahuna today. Turtle Bay has a 10:50. Royal Hawaiian Country Club, a 10:42. Eva Beach Golf Course has a 2:42. And let's see, Wailea, the Gold, 11:40, Emerald, 11:10. If you're close to the Blue Course, there's a 9 o'clock. And Maui Nui has a 9:28 this morning. My guest this morning, Michael Patrick Shields, Michigan's big show, starring Michael Patrick Shields, syndicated show. He travels around the world. And he does his show, imagine that, Escaping the Winter. It's marvelous. Karen Palacios Jensen, Director of Instruction, Cardio Golf Online Studio. She'll be with us. Wes Wailahua, Executive Director, CEO, PGA of America. He's with us as well. We're kicking off the show with Ron Syrak, Contributor Golf Channel, after we thank the people who make this show possible.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood water, broken pipe cleanup, call 24-7, licensed contractors too. Raynor Garage Doors, steel, aluminum, and wood, ready to hang or custom made, sales and service, that's Raynor Doors. Aloha Power Equipment's new mega store is now open across from Costco Ibile. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment's Waipahu store, and now in Ibile. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Ron Syrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement and Journalism Award recipient, LPGA Media Excellence Award is his as well, author Vision 54 Trilogy with Lynn Marriott and Pia Nilsson, including Play Your Best Golf Now, member of the Western Pennsylvania Golf Association Hall of Fame, and just back from the World Golf Hall of Fame. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ron.
Danielle, thanks for having me on. I'm still in Florida where that Hall of Fame induction was, and I'll tell you what, I'm glad I'm not covering the Players' Championship this week. worrying about how we would close a magazine on a Monday, because this tournament may not end till Tuesday.
Truly, and aren't there more thunderstorms forecast to come in Tuesday?
Yes, the weather forecast is not good for Tuesday either. And, those players who had the early draw on Thursday really luck out, because not only did they not have to play yesterday and could sleep late today, they're probably only going to get a late in the afternoon. I mean, after the rain passes through, the winds are going to go up to like 40 miles an hour, and the temperature is going to go down to 40 degrees. So it's going to be brutal out there.
Yes, it will be. And Tommy Fleetwood has been sitting on that 66 and now a share of the lead since Monday. It seems like it's Monday. Since Thursday afternoon, he manages to get his round in. But we knew I need to talk to you about the World Golf Hall of Fame. Some incredible people inducted. And I want to start with Marion Hollis. Amazing woman, champion amateur golfer, born in 1892, died in 1944. In the meantime, she won U.S. Women's Amateur among many amateur tournaments. She captained the U.S. Curtis Cup team in 1932. But isn't she the only truly renowned female golf course architect, with her hands in Cypress Point, Pasatiempo, and Augusta National? In fact, I think it was Marion Hollis who encouraged Bobby Jones to hire Alistair McKenzie.
truly.
Yeah, you know, and she had as much to do with the development of the Monterey Peninsula and golf out there. Area by Samuel Morris, who developed the Pebble Beach Corporation, built Pebble Beach, opened it in 1919. She came out there in the early 20s, helped grow the golf in that area. And it was in the 1929 U.S. Amateur, Bob Jones got beat. He went over and he played Cypress Point. and we saw that golf course. He said, wow, this is pretty special. And it was Marion Hobbs who teamed up with Alistair, who designed Cypress Point, and led to and Alistair McKenzie was.
We're losing you a little bit. Sometimes you come in really strong, Ron, and sometimes we get a dropout.
Might be probably the weather that's going on here.
Right.
But when Alistair McKenzie was building Augusta National, and when he couldn't be there, he'd have Marion Hollins be his eyes on the golf course.
Isn't that wonderful? I mean, it's truly. In 1923, was it 1923? No, wait a second. 100 years... Pebble Beach hosts its first U.S. Women's Open, which coincides with the 100th anniversary, yes, of Holland's victory in the first Pebble Beach Championship for women. So it's wonderful how everything's kind of coming around, circle, full circle.
Yeah, you know, it was nice that this year's Hall of Fame class had 50% of it. Two of the four people who went in were women.
Yes.
And that's really due to only 16% of the Hall of Fame are women right now, and that's something they're well aware of, and they're making amends on that front.
I was thinking that it was done on purpose to have two women and two men. The optics are perfect, and this time is a good time for the optics to be perfect. We've had so many strange things. Susie Maxwell Berning, the other woman, born in 1941, took up golf when she was 15, kind of late in life, from at least our perspective. But boy, she had four major championships after joining the LPGA Tour, 11 LPGA Tour victories, and still a well-respected teaching professional. I think she's 80. That's wonderful.
Yeah, you know, she won the U.S. Women's Open three times, and two of those times she did it after she had become a mom.
Wow.
And she was really a pioneer in that regard. The only women who've won major championships after they had become a mom are Susie Maxwell Berning, Nancy Lopez, Julie Inkster, and Katrina Matthews. So she was way ahead of her time in that regard.
Mm. Tim Fincham, American lawyer, served, of course, as commissioner of the PGA Tour, 94 to 2016. I didn't think about it. I served in the White House during the Carter administration, deputy advisor to the president in the Office of Economic Affairs. And speaking of economics, he took the PGA Tour from $56.4 million to $256.9 million. But, of course, that was while Tiger Woods was in his prime. Does Fincham get enough credit for what he, you know, increasing the purses and increasing the values that golf brought to the players? Or was it more Tiger Woods?
No, you know, I don't think Fincham gets enough credit, because even though he had Tiger there, he leveraged Tiger brilliantly. He negotiated after Tiger won that 97 Masters. They got a Sunday TV rating of 14-1, the all-time record TV rating for golf. And he negotiated a new TV deal right then, and he got three huge TV deals during the peak of the Tiger Woods surge. But he also did other things. He created the First Tee program. He created the FedEx Cup. He created the World Golf Championship events. And all of that was riding on the coattail of Tiger Woods, but he realized what he had, and I think he maximized the value of Tiger Woods brilliantly.
Yes, yes, perfectly said. Okay, now, of course, Tiger Woods, his daughter Sam introducing him. I mean, did you feel, during his presentation, emotional at all?
Yes, and it was as emotional as I've ever seen Tiger, and it was as personal as I ever seen Tiger. You know, he talked about when he first started playing tournaments as a junior golfer. He was excited because he was going to courses that had CC at the end of their name, country club. But some of those were golf courses where blacks were not allowed into the clubhouse.
Yeah.
He talked about when he was 14 years old and his parents took out a second mortgage on their home so that he could play AJGA golf tournaments. And how when he signed his first big endorsement deal with Nike and Titleist in 1996, the first thing he did was paid off that second mortgage for his parents. So it was a very personal and very emotional that way. And it's the most emotion I've ever seen Tiger show publicly.
Yes, it was wonderful. I know some who have teared up watching that acceptance, if you will. There is a very famous lawyer who grew up along Mid-Pacific Country Club who would sneak in to Mid-Pacific Country Club. He always played golf barefoot. And there was a sneak-in story that Tiger shared with us, too, about finding balls and sneaking in and then his dad joining him.
Yeah, the Navy Golf Club, which is where Tiger first started playing, had an age limit. You had to be 10 years old to play in the golf course. And when Tiger was about 8, he would crawl along this ditch that paralleled the first couple of holes, and he'd look for golf balls in there. And he learned his dad, who was a Green Beret, a sniper in the Army, taught him how to sort of be invisible and creep stealthily through the underbrush, and how to always have twigs over him so he couldn't be seen. So Taggart crawl along through this ditch and then catch up with his dad on about the third hole, because the course, he explained, the course was a link-style out-and-back course. So the whole front nine, you were going away from the clubhouse, so the chances of being spotted and weren't very good. And even though Taggart, at probably the age of 8, most of the adults on that golf course, he still had to work his way around that age limit, that age restriction.
And I love the story about when he was playing skins, and his dad said, "I never want you playing for quarters." And so he went out and he said, "I wasn't playing for quarters, Dad. I was playing for dollars."
Yeah. And then he would win money on the putting green. Then his dad said, "I don't want you to make money putting." And Tiger said, "Okay." So then he went out and got involved in skins games.
Right.
So he
yes, it was putting for quarters, right? That was just wonderful. Just seeing him tell us about things that we hadn't heard. You know, there's so many things that, 82 PGA Tour wins, tied with Sam Snead, 15 major championships, Jack Nicklaus, of course, with 18, 142 consecutive cuts made. Woods has made 361 starts on the PGA Tour, winning 82 times. That's 22.7%. His missed cuts, 33. That's 9.1% of the time. Phil Mickelson, just as a contrast, won 44 times in 624 starts. That's 0.05%. Missed 111 cuts. That's 17.8%. Does anybody come close? Is that, the cuts, consecutive cuts made? Does that...
No, you'd have to go back. They didn't keep great records when Byron Nelson was playing back when he won 18 tournaments in one season. But you'd have to go back to them to find anything that comes close to it. But, I think one of the staggering things about Tiger Woods, if you look at it, he probably was a Hall of Famer before he ever turned professional.
Oh.
I mean, and all the numbers that you recited are true. I mean, what he's accomplished as a professional is remarkable. But look at his amateur career. He won the U.S. Amateur 3 straight times. He won the U.S. Boys Junior Championship 3 straight times. That's 6 consecutive years of winning a USGA National Championship. He won the NCAA Individual Championship. He won every significant... He was the Haskin Awards winner for College Player of the Year. He had a Hall of Fame career as an amateur, and there would be a strong case for him to be in the Hall of Fame if he had never won all those 82 tournaments and 15 majors he won as a pro.
Yeah, and as I was looking up the numbers, I came across this one, and then I thought, no wonder I always expected him to win. 7 consecutive PGA Tour wins, 1999 to 2000, six consecutive wins, 1999 I got the wrong dates there. Five consecutive wins in 2007 to 2008, and 18 World Golf Championship wins. It's not surprising that we all thought, oh, Tiger's got this. Tiger's got this. And then he'd leave. How many tournaments was he playing sometimes? 14 a year? And still has these numbers.
Yeah, at one point he won in the early 2000s. He won 7 of the 11 major championships that he played. I saw him win majors. I saw him win the U.S. Open by 15 strokes, a Masters by 12 strokes, and a British Open by 8 strokes. That's pretty remarkable golf. The year that he had in 2000, when he won 3 consecutive major championships, the U.S. Open by 15, British Open by 8, might be the single greatest year anyone's ever had in professional golf.
Truly. And now, switching to the LPGA, Jin Young Ko, HSBC Women's World Championship by 17 under. How many does she's won in a row now? Most consecutive subpar rounds, 6 victories over 10 starts. Is that a record?
Is that a record on
the LPGA Tour? Yeah.
Well, it's not a record. Both Sorenstam and Lopez won 5 consecutive tournaments, but she has been the hottest player in the world, no question about it, since she won, I think, 4 of her last 7 tournaments last year, maybe 5 of her last 8, and then won the first tournament that she played this year. And she went out and won the first tournament she played this year. She hadn't competed in 3.5 months. It's pretty remarkable, but... You know, Jin Young's got the kind of swing. She reminds me of Annika Sorenstam in that she rarely ever beats herself. And she's got the kind of swing that just effortlessly repeats time and time again.
Yeah, and a wrist injury to boot, right? A year ago, something happened, and she sometimes still is holding her wrist.
Yeah, and she's one of the players who's the last 2 years were really disrupted for her by the pandemic also, she pretty much didn't play at all in 2020 because of COVID travel restrictions, and then didn't get back to the United States to the middle of last year, and then went on to have she won Player of the Year, essentially, by showing up in June and playing the second half of the season. So she's somebody who, I don't see her taking her foot off the gas pedal anytime soon, and we keep waiting for that player to come along, the player who can build on success for multiple years the way Sorenstam did or the way Lorena Ochoa did.
Yeah.
And we might be seeing it with Jin Young now.
And Nelly Korda. We think of Nelly Korda, but this year she's been just not quite there. 1 top 10 in 3 starts. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, she's off to skipped the Asia trip, and she's going to pick up on it when it gets back here. I think this is an important year for her because talk about building on success. She had a breakthrough year last year. She won 4 tournaments, plus she won the Olympic gold medal, and fought Jin Young Ko for Player of the Year right down to the last tournament of the year. But does she build on that? And we'll find out now. I was not surprised that she had a breakout year last year. The key will be can she build on that breakout year. I still think that she and Jin Young are 1 and 1A. They have a clear separation between them and everybody else that's out there. But we're going to have to psychologically see if Nelly's got that fire in her belly to go back out and compete hard this year.
Yeah, it was a long year for her, though, wasn't it, last year? I mean, with the Olympics and everything?
Yeah, there was really no breaks in there. And when it came down to Player of the Year, Jin Young Ko won Player of the Year on the LPGA point system, but Nelly Korda won the Golf Writers Association of America Player of the Year, which is a vote. And in the vote, the Olympic gold medal is taken into consideration, and it wasn't taken into consideration in the LPGA points thing. So in that regard, she probably had a more successful year last year than Jin Young Ko did.
Yeah. So now they're playing the Honda LPGA Thailand. Arya Jutanugarn is the defending champ, first Thai player to win in Thailand. And I was looking for the Jutanugarns, and they're both tied for 47. Moria and Arya, 6 under. Aditya Aushak, Lizette Salas, they're also there. So what we have at the top of the leaderboard, and by the way, in Hawaii, we have it really good, because when they play on the Asia Tour, it's on Golf Channel 9 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. Don't you have to get up at like 2 a.m. to see them?
Yeah, pretty much. When I was writing for the magazine, I loved it because the tournament was over early on Sunday. You know, I think that he's writing by breakfast time there. But you look at the leaderboard they have over there right now, and again, you see the depth and breadth of talent on the LPGA in women's golf. The top 10 at the Honda Thailand are from 8 different countries. You know, you got Denmark, China, France, Mexico, Canada, Japan, the United States, and Australia, all represented in the top 10. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, yeah, and I was surprised. Lucy Lee is 6 under. Under.
It's funny. I remember being at that 2014 U.S. Women's Open at Pinehurst, and she was 11 years old playing in that tournament. And, you know, I'm always skeptical when I see somebody that young thrown into a stage that big about what long-term effect it's going to have on them. But it looks like Lucy Lee, she's 19 now. She's waiting for have her breakthrough wins as a professional. But it's looking like she's going to be a factor. It looks like she's somebody who is willing to embrace all the attention that's come her way.
Yeah, there's just one more round, of course, and Denmark's Nanna Kurtz Madsen is 21 under, but it's 16 under is not that far behind. So great things. You know, one thing I wanted to go over, Ron Syrak is, I'm talking with, Golf Channel contributor, author, longtime writer for Golf Digest, Golf World executive editor. When you'd always go to the rules conferences that the USGA would put on in San Diego. And so the Lift, Clean, and Place that's going to be used at the Players at TPC Sawgrass, which of course is like underwater in some places, but they've been doing such a great job with the squeegees. I didn't realize that on the PGA Tour, you can place the ball just about anywhere, well, within a 6-foot circle, a club length. On the European Tour, it's just scorecard length. That seems odd. What's up with that disparity?
And in USGA events, they don't play lift, clean, and place at all. they never have in the U.S. Open or U.S. Women's Open, and they never will. It's a local rule. And what affects the rule, too, and particularly when you have conditions like today, is not only can you lift the ball, clean it, and place it within a club length, if there's casual water, you could move it as far as you need to move it to get relief from the casual water, get total relief from casual water. So it's going to be a big – driving the ball in the fairway is going to be hugely, hugely important, because you get to have the golf ball in your hand. You get to pick it up and clean the mud off of it and then give yourself a preferred lie.
Yeah, John Rahm said, there's no way if I can live clean in place, am I going to play a dirty ball?
Yeah.
Couldn't agree with him more. All right, boy, anything on your mind? You were there, and I was looking. You weren't allowed to take pictures inside, I don't think. That's the impression I got.
Yeah, we weren't allowed to take pictures. We weren't allowed to make audio recordings of anything that was in there. I didn't even tweet from during the stuff. I waited to do it afterwards. It's pretty much a tightly controlled situation. I've been to all the ceremonies that they had when it used to be at the World Golf Village in St. Augustine. This ceremony was held in the new PGA Tour headquarters in Ponte Vedra Beach, which is quite a spectacular building. And it was a very, very restricted affair in terms of the number of people who were inside. But, it was a big deal that Tiger Woods, for Tiger Woods and Tim Fincham to go in at the same time was, in my mind, very appropriate for the reasons we talked about before. Tiger Woods was grew the game enormously, particularly as a spectator sport when he came along, and Tim Fincham knew how to leverage that brilliance and that uniqueness of Tiger Woods into. You mentioned, I think Tiger's first year when he turned pro, there was about $70 million in prize money. This year they're playing for $420 million in prize money. And another $445 million in bonus money, FedEx Cup bonus, player impact bonus, all that stuff. So the prize money has, in the Tiger era, grown enormously, and the two of them together need to share that credit.
Yes, I couldn't agree with you more, and I'm getting such a kick out of this. All that money that they're giving out is, you know, prize money. That's why the PGA Tour is hanging on to the media rights, you know. They want to be able to have as much income potential as possible. That's a joke. And that's why you couldn't take any pictures inside during the World Golf Hall of Fame ceremony. Not really. Okay. Ron Cyrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement and Journalism Award recipient, LPGA Media Excellence Award, author of Vision 54, the trilogy with Lynn Marriott and Pia Nilsson. It's including Play Your Best Golf Now. Get it. And a member of the Western Pennsylvania Golf Association Hall of Fame. Thank you for being on the show. So much fun talking with you.
Danielle, as always, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Aloha. All right. Wes Walahua, Executive Director, CEO, PGA of America. So much going on now that things are, I dare I say, getting back to normal. I don't know. You know, it's still there, sort of. We'll be back after this with Wes. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Ibilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Ibilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Ibilay.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghaus, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate for that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Wes Walahua is Executive Director, CEO, PGA of America, Aloha Section PGA of America. He's President of the Hawaii Golf Alliance, CMA President of the Board of Directors, Aloha State Chapter, Head Program Coordinator, Kamehameha Schools Golf Team, and President and CEO, Hawaii Aviation. You amaze me. Do you ever sleep? Wes, welcome into the clubhouse.
Danielle, aloha. Good morning. It is a beautiful day, and the answer is no. There's no time to sleep when there's so much going on in Hawaii. It's a wonderful thing.
So much to do, so many people to see, and so many holes of golf to play. How about 100 holes of golf a day for 5 days.
Yeah.
100 holes of golf.
You know.
Kukui'ula, Turtle Bay, Hualalai, King Kamehameha, Manele. So when is David Havens beginning this incredible trek?
March 21st, David's our new president for the Aloha section, and one of his goals is to help reconnect our members and get things going again here in Hawaii from a more of a business perspective and a fundraising perspective. Our foundation, which is a nonprofit 501c3, hasn't raised any money over the last 2 years, specifically because we felt it was more important for our sponsors to take care of their own family and friends and their employees that work for them. And now that things have kind of been moving forward the last 2 years, David has kind of taken on this task as a personal mission to play 500 holes on 5 different islands in 5 days, starting on March 21st and ending on March 25th at the Manele Golf Course on beautiful Lanai. So it's going to be an interesting journey, and he's asking the PGA membership and our sponsors to come along this journey with him as we kind of help raise money in a 500-hole challenge that he's putting on.
It's incredible. Now, what is the Aloha Section PGA Foundation? What do they do with the money? What do you do with the
money?
You
know, our primary, it's very different than a lot of other nonprofits. Everything that we raise, I'd say close to 80-90% goes back out either within the same year or over the next 2 years. It started off as a scholarship program to help local Hawaii kids continue on for continuing education at college, and it's kind of morphed and grown into many other programs, from teaching and coaching summits to the Hawaii Golf Industry Conference to the award ceremony for Ho'olaulea, which we haven't had in a couple of years, and now our new programs with Drive, Chip, and Putt, PGA Junior League, and now PGA Hope, which is a part of the merger with Patriot Golf Days, which is going to be coming up in May to help fundraise money for that as well. So, you know, our impact in Hawaii and the scholarships alone has been well over $150,000 in the last 10 years, and we continue to grow that, and we're going to continue to take on new programs this year and help reach out to our veteran community by providing PGA Hope programs, which is an acronym for helping our Patriots everywhere, to kind of get them involved in golf and reassimilate to normal life here in the islands. So I'm really excited about it, and I'm glad that David has kind of spearheaded this program to help fundraise money for the foundation so we can get back together with our communities and give back in many, many different ways that we did before COVID.
Right. Now, PGA Hope is also when you can go to, let's say, a golf course and someone, you're a veteran, you're injured, you're recovered, you were wounded, and now you have, I don't like calling it a disability because it just doesn't sound right. People are not disabled. They have different challenges. Like, you know, we all have challenges, and theirs are bigger. They can go to the golf course and learn about the game through a PGA. Is that what you plan to do?
It's actually a lot more than that, Danielle, because as you know, there was two separate programs, which is Folds of Honor, Major Dan Rooney, and that program still exists, and it's specific for fundraising money for the families and children of our fallen heroes. And that was a great initiative that he's taken on for many, many years. And as the program grew and evolved, the PGA of America decided to create its own program specific to veterans, and that was PGA Hope through our PGA Reach, our nonprofit affiliate umbrella of the PGA of America. And, you know, with a specific objective for trying to bring the two fundraising events together to create Patriot Golf Days as a unified way for the golf world to honor, you know, our returning military heroes and those who have made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom by providing, you know, the resources of the PGA of America and financially and even teaching them how to play golf to kind of get them back together in a social, fun environment on the golf course. So really that's what the focus is for Patriot Golf Days, and that will be the weekend of Memorial Weekend as we make a big push to raise money to create those programs or continue those programs here in the islands.
Yes,
and we We do have them scheduled for later this year. There will be one here on Oahu at Ko'olina Golf Club and another one on Maui at the dunes at Maui Lani. And we hope to continue to grow those programs in 2023.
That would be great. I was so lucky when I went to D.C. to visit my son at Belvoir. I met Steve Greiner, who created, you know, he's got the PGA of America Patriot honor. He was given that, I think it was in 2006, not sure what the date was, but he created the program that you follow on the driving range, on the putting green, chipping and what have you. The program is to bring all Patriots together for the social experience, mainly to get them out of the home and into society again, to help them with that. You find yourself so so isolated, and you don't want to go out because everything is so different in your life. And then you get to go with people who've had the same experiences, and they're in this kind of the same predicaments, different but same. And you get to be with them and laugh, exchange stories. If you're not feeling well, you can maybe lift your spirits up, or you get to just not feel well with the group of people that are there. And that it really makes a difference in how you're feeling about yourself and being able to get back into society, as you say, you know, and be able to take on challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. And the whole part about golf is that fun social aspect, and you create an extended family that wants you to participate and encourage you to be out there and to reengage. And really, that's the sole purpose of our programming, is to provide those experiences. Not just for our veteran heroes, but also for families. You know, PGA Junior League has been a huge program that's continuing to grow. We have signups going on for that, and the program is getting bigger and bigger every year on all the islands. You know, Drive, Chip, and Putt, which is our national program with Augusta National, is continuing to grow. Augusta is asking us to find more ways to connect to more juniors to create opportunities for them. And we're excited about that. And the national championship, again, will be that Sunday of tournament week at Augusta. And now we will have probably this year an additional program, which is PGA Family Cup, which is really getting the parents involved in a PGA Junior League team kind of fun format version of nine holes. So I'm kind of excited. You know, the last when COVID hit, Danielle, it was very people were very pessimistic about it. But I've always been more of a glass half full kind of guy, and we took advantage of these opportunities, and PGA members took the opportunity to get certified in different programs, and we sent out more education to kind of help them be prepared. And now in the state of the game, I would say is very healthy. I'd like it to see it obviously a little bit better, but that's just me always pushing the envelope for golf in Hawaii. But I think the golf is in a really good place statewide, with tournaments coming back and fundraising efforts and courses facing a huge capacity issue, at least here in Honolulu. The neighbor islands, not so much. But Honolulu has seen a huge capacity issue in the last year.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have. Steve Greiner got the PGA's Patriot Award back in November of 2016. I made us all older. let me ask you about the Family Cup. What is that? Tell us about that.
Well, PGA Family Cup is a variation of our PGA Junior League. So the Junior League program was originally designed to bring beginning golfers together. It was one of the on-ramps that the PGA created, which is very similar to First Tee and U.S. Kids. They're all very different programs, but from an industry perspective, we look at them as on-ramps to lead into other junior golf programs or island associations, whether it be Oahu Junior Golf, Maui Junior Golf, you know, and all those programs. It's a beginning point where kids and parents can have access to familiarize themselves with the game in a very non-competitive, social, fun environment. And we saw some great success at a national level with PGA Junior League, that there was a recommendation from the National Junior Golf Committee for the PGA of America to create a Family Cup version where parents we're now teaming up with kids and participating in the same type of family-friendly type of format within their own clubs or within their own you know, regional area.
Yes.
So you'd have Club A and B would have a Family Cup team, and they would challenge each other on different properties. It created a better opportunity. But what was really obvious for us is the parents were there anyway, and most of them wanted to participate and play in some version. So, you know, with Family Cup, it's kind of redefining family time, you know, kind of one tee time at a time by bringing everybody together. And it's a healthy way for quality time spent together outside as a family.
Yeah.
You know, that can continue to be priceless. So
yes.
I think that's what really PGA Family Cup is going to be doing as we start to roll it out as a program this year here in Hawaii.
That's wonderful, because you don't know how many people have said, I want a first tee for adults.
Well, they're all great. You know, Danielle, people ask me all the time, you know, what program is best for my kid? And to be honest, they are all really great programs. It really just depends at what level, you know, the kids want to be engaged at. Some of them can't really adjust to the competitive level, and they need a longer on-ramp. Some are have ready to go, and they want to get in there and compete. And First Tee is continuing to do a great job. The Hawaii State Junior Golf Association has kind of taken on that challenge.
Uh-huh.
You know, the U.S. Kids program continues to offer more tournaments, and I think it's a great a training ground that'll help the kids be stronger in each of their island associations as the island junior associations continue to grow. And ultimately, our goal is, you know, at a national level, is to create opportunities for them to go on and compete at a national level competition, whether it's the National PGA Junior Championship or Junior World. I've always been a big fan of helping our local kids continue to succeed on the national level, because I think local kids can handle. And that's what I'll continue to try to do to promote those opportunities for them.
Far out. Yes, it's just, I was thinking of the Family Cup. You're going to teach the parents a little bit about the game if they don't know?
Well, you know, sometimes as you get older, the it's harder to teach. But I think what's important is getting them to understand,
yes,
you know, the real value of,
yes,
the real value of that time. And I say that, Danielle, because you know, I don't have kids, but I've learned by watching other PGA professionals that you really only have 18 summers, you know, and I say that when you have kids, right?
Yeah.
You've got 18 summers, and to use these opportunities like this to create experience and memories with your kids is priceless. And I am a big promoter of that when it comes to talking to the ownership of facilities or the general managers. You know, there are only 18 summers that you get to enjoy with your kids before they're off and gone and doing their thing in college or starting their career. So I'm grateful for the years that I've had with my dad and my mom, and I'm hoping that that message can kind of carry on to other people so they understand that as well.
And, that's beautiful.
Create those special moments, family moments.
Yeah. All right. One more question. PGA of America, the move to Texas, the course under construction, how's that going?
And now it is beautiful. I will be there next week with many meetings in Frisco. The PGA headquarter building is, I would say, it's pretty close to being done. It is a spectacular four-story building with state-of-the-art facilities and practice areas. I have not played the courses yet, but I have been on the courses. I was there last year when they were just getting ready to kind of open it up to the partners.
Uh-huh.
Omni Hotels has been a great partner with the PGA of America, and so has the city of Frisco, to make this dream such a great reality. And I will say that the hotel is now finally kind of coming out of the ground. It looks beautiful. I think it's going to be a great venue for our championship events, for the PGA Championship and the Ryder Cups and all the other tournaments they plan to hold there. But it is quite exciting to see it kind of to grow. And, you know, for me, to be a part of it at a national level, to kind of help contribute to the vision. So I'm good. Golf is great, and I'm very thankful to be in this position representing Hawaii to create more opportunities for Hawaii and the industry.
Awesome. Oh, you're a parent, quote unquote, with all the things that you do. You're growing and creating, and that's a job, and it's brings you a lot of joy. I don't know how he's going to do it, but we're going to be with David Havens, 100 holes of golf. Kukui'ula, Turtle Bay, Hualalai, King Kamehameha, Manele, one day after the other day, plays 100 holes, flies, I don't know, takes a nap, gets up, plays 100 holes, flies, takes a nap, does that all week long between the 21st and the 25th. And how can we contribute?
There's a lot of great ways, Danielle. I'm glad you brought that up. And David's efforts in this mission, I think, are going to be outstanding. They can either contact our office, visit the website, aspga.com, or David Haven's website, spareforchange.com, I believe, or .org. David's participation with our foundation has been great. We've partnered with him every single year at the Sony, where David has given away thousands of clubs to beginning juniors that have taken a lesson from our PGA professionals in the tent. He's been, I think, one of the highlights for this tour event with the Sony, and maybe even on tour, since there's no other event that does that type of activity. And I think his program, taking used or recycled clubs and refurbishing them for juniors so that they have an opportunity to swing something. I mean, I can't tell you, I don't think there's anybody more in Hawaii golf that is actually doing those kind of efforts by giving that time and energy away to create a smile on a kid's face with their first golf club. I remember mine, and David's creating those memories. And this effort through the 500 holes is going to help him and his nonprofit, as well as our foundation, continue to support golf here in the island. So I really encourage everybody to reach out to us and kind of help David on this mission for their 500 holes.
Right, because it's the foundation makes all these programs possible that we've just talked about. Thank you very much
Absolutely.
For being on the show. I look forward to talking to you again when you get back from Frisco, Texas. I think it's such a it's amazing you're going. And you know, I had no idea. Thank you for being on the show.
All right, Danielle, thank you. Aloha. Have a great weekend.
You too. Wes Wailahua, Executive Director, CEO, Aloha Section, PGA of America. We're going to come back. We've got some tips for you because Karen Palacios Jensen, CardioGolf.com, she's in the house. Director of Instruction, Cardio Golf Online Studio, top 50 female instructor by Golf Digest for the past 20 years. Maybe she shouldn't say that. You know, we don't age ourselves, do we, Karen? We'll be back with Karen after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home where the Grand Slam lives. Need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Iwilei. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Iwilei parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Iwilei.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24-7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID-compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434. Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Karen Palacios Jensen, cardiogolf.com. You can find her there. Cardio cardiogolf.com, Director of Instruction, Cardio Golf Online Studio, top female, 50 female instructor by Golf Digest for the past 20 years, LPGA master teacher, teaching professional, 2008 National Teacher of the Year, former vice president of the LPGA TNCP. Karen Palacios Jensen is also, by the way, she's married to Dan Jensen. Karen's husband uses her exercise program and her exercise aids. And, you know, he's a pretty remarkable person. Welcome into the clubhouse, Karen. You're a pretty remarkable person yourself.
Thank you for having me always. And you're my favorite person to pronounce my name. I love how you say my name.
It's beautiful, you know that. It's beautiful. So you have the really good idea. When we go to the golf course, you know, most of us are running behind schedule. Tee time's coming up. We're running, you know, getting our clubs. Hurry, 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 hurry. That probably isn't the best way to approach getting on the golf course to play a good round of golf. And you suggested we talk about pre-round habits that can improve your performance, but not change your swing. And I love that.
Yeah, exactly. So, I tell people, everyone's like, oh, I don't have time to do something beforehand. Well, think about it. Golf is expensive, and you're spending a lot of time out there. So you want to make sure that you're doing it with some quality time and getting the most out of your game. So some things that you can do before you go play a practice will actually set you up for a good round of golf, regardless of what your swing is like. You can get the most out of your swing. And the first thing would probably just making sure that you have a good meal before you go play. Think about it, Danielle. You're out there for 4 or 5 hours. And if you're rushing to the tee and you haven't eaten, you know, your blood sugar might go down, and then the first time you see, you know, the cart person come by, or you go to the turn, you grab the first thing that you find. It's usually a candy bar or something like that. And then that spikes your sugar, and then you get into that, you know, bad cycle of the high sugar high and then the sugar low, and you don't have the energy to keep your round up. So just making sure you have some good food before you go into your round of golf will help keep your energy level up the whole time so you can concentrate and play and enjoy the day out there.
You know, we always hear about the professionals eating something like after 9 holes, bananas or peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And should we pack a lunch?
Well, if you could, that would probably be better. The food that you bring is probably better than some of the stuff that they have on the, you know, the cart or at the turn. But they're getting better at golf courses. They're packing nuts and beef jerky and chicken salad. So anything like that was loaded with protein, not a lot of refined sugar, not a lot of refined carbohydrates like white bread. Anything like that is going to help you sustain your energy the entire round. And think about it, you're out there 4 or 5 hours, so you're going to get hungry and your energy is going to go down. And even if you have a good game, you know, nobody can withstand low blood sugar.
No, your mind starts going, you know. It's like, right. Is it my turn?
Right, exactly.
How many shots have I hit?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're looking backwards and counting the strokes, like, okay. You know, right. When you normally feel kind of sharp. So when you start drifting, you're either dehydrated or you're really, really hungry. And you're,
right?
Right? Yeah.
But you need to treat yourself like you're a little kid. You wouldn't send your kid off 4 or 5 hours without any food or water, right? You would make sure they had a lunch, and you would ask them 10 times if they have their water bottle or their snacks. So you need to treat yourself like you're a little kid.
I like that. I mean, it's true. We don't, you know, we need to take care of ourselves when people say that. But I like the way you put it. You know, you need to treat yourself like a little kid that you're taking to the golf course. Now, let's go. Let's go, Danny. Let's go to the course. These are so simple. Now, what about warm-ups? You know, people insist that it's really important, and a lot of people don't do it. Physical warm-ups, swinging, putting, everything that goes along with it.
Absolutely, and thanks for asking. And in my cardio golf program, I would say the warm-up is the staple to my program. If you go to cardiogolf.com and you just type in the search bar warm-up, you can actually download a free little ebook, and I'll give you the one that I use. It's simple to do. You can do it at your house before you go play or practice. If you don't have a long way to drive to the course, if you're embarrassed to do it on the golf course, but it's a standing warm-up, and you do it with your golf club, so you don't have to get down on the ground and get wet. And nowadays, we see more people warming up before play or practice, so you know you're not going to be the odd one out there doing their little stretches before you play. But warm-up is so important, you know, to make sure you, if you want to increase your club head speed, you have to make sure that you can take all your just muscles and joints through their full range of motion. So warming up is one way to get those that full range. And we've probably experienced when we've got to the first tee without a warm-up, it takes us like 4 or 5 holes to kind of get our form. And those 4 or 5 holes should have been the pre-round warm-up routine so that you could go right out the gate and, you know, have a nice drive off the first tee. You'd probably save a few shots like that. Also, people are like, oh, I don't want to warm up before I go play. I'm going to be out there that whole time. Well, you know, you're putting a lot of strain on your muscles, swinging one direction, so you want to prepare your body for all that movement so that you can withstand it. And so it's actually going to make you stronger, help your endurance more if you warm up beforehand.
Yeah, doesn't the warm-up get your blood going and gets all the lubricates the joints so that they're ready to do all this stuff?
Yeah, oxygenates the blood goes to the muscles, and that gives you the energy, you know, that you're going to need for your 4 or 5 hours to be out there.
Yeah, yeah, it's not like you're going to run a marathon before you play golf. You're just going to warm up.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And a warm-up should be mindful. So the first part should be dynamic, where you get the blood going, flowing. You know, I have this little cross crawl that I do. You hold the club parallel to the ground, and then you just take your opposite knee to opposite elbow. It's kind of a little standing march twist. That'll get your heart rate going. Then maybe do a couple of arm bicycles to get the shoulders and back, a few squats. And then when your heart's going, then you can go ahead and do some golf-specific motion. Practice the motion that you're going to be doing for the day, like a backswing turn and a forward swing, a weight shift. That would be helpful. And then if you have chronically tight muscles, you might want to do a few stretches that are static and hold it just to loosen up those muscles. And I believe you have some of my golf gym stretch bands. You can take those to the course and put them on your golf cart and do a few stretches throughout the round if you tend to get tight as well, because everybody has chronically tight muscles from the imbalances that we have from things that we do.
Yes, and particularly if you're you're not walking, you're riding a cart. Didn't that kind of freeze you up a little bit when you get in the cart?
Yes, it does. Right. You know, think about it. You're swinging the club fast, and then you're sitting in the cart, so then your muscles might get tight that way. So it would be good to have a few things. And, you know, the other thing that would be good to do before you go play or practice is just to kind of quiet your mind and maybe relax for a couple of minutes before the round and just visualize your first tee shot. Most of us have some anxiety about that first tee shot. And if you just do a couple of minutes, not even a couple of minutes, 30 seconds of visualization, just see yourself walking to the tee in slow motion, teeing up the ball, visualizing your target line, making a smooth swing, holding your finish, watching the ball land in the middle of the fairway. And if you do that a few times, then your body feels like you've already done that before. So when you get on the first tee, that feels comfortable. And, you know, you can just go ahead and put it on automatic pilot and swing down the middle of the fairway.
That's brilliant. That is so brilliant, because you're absolutely, I mean, this is Karen Palacios Jensen. She is so dead on. You know, when you can, they say that if you sit in front of a television set and watch sports, your mind is actually looking at the maneuvers that those athletes are doing. You can't do that, but you can feel like you're doing it. Your mind is kind of like you're subconsciously involved. And somebody said, you can tell people, you know, hey, you're a couch potato. No, I'm not. My mind is going through it. I'm visualizing everything, so I'm not. I'm getting my exercise. Not really, but, you know, so that is so important. And I was just thinking, and I'm so glad you brought that up. I can be as relaxed, you know, and then as soon as I start walking up to the tee, you know, I start feeling my muscles tense. You know, everything is like, okay, I've got to put the ball on the ground right, make it balanced on the tee.
Yeah, we're so worried that people are watching.
Yes.
We don't want to, you know, we don't want to fail. Nobody wants to. Nobody wants to top it off the first tee. So, but if think about it, if, you know, you spend a few minutes kind of building your own confidence, saying to yourself, you know, you can do this and see a good shot, your mind will start to calm down and then your body will feel it.
Yes. And it can be one of those, you know, I have one drive that I'll never forget. And it was so beautiful. So that's the one that I'll always remember, you know, that
right.
I want to redo that one. Yeah. Yeah. My mind can
say. Right. Exactly.
Yes. You put that in your memory bank. Yes. Okay. So we've played a good, you know, nicely paced round of golf. We haven't been out there 6.5 hours and we don't want to throttle the people in front of us anymore. So now so many people just dash over to the, you know, 19th hole and, you know, start downing whatever their favorite beverage is. After all that wonderful exercise, what do scratch golfers do when they come off the course?
Well, you know, that's a great question, because what you do after your round of golf is going to prepare you for the next couple of days, because if you haven't played golf in a while and you've been out there for 4 or 5 hours swinging, you're going to be sore. And think about all the sweating that you've done and the damage to your muscles, the twisting and turning. So you first need to rehydrate. You first need to down water before you go and do your favorite beverage. And listen, I like a cocktail just like anybody else, but you have to make sure you get that water in your system before, because you're dehydrated. And dehydration, I would say, is probably the biggest thing that people get sick from, is because they're just dehydrated. And so you want to make sure that you get your water in there. And then you want to make sure you have a snack as well, because, you know, you've done all that twisting and turning. And although people don't think that golf is a sport, it is physical, so you want to eat something that's going to help you repair your muscles so that you, when you play the next day or get up the next day, you're not going to be sore. You know, so that might be a time to eat some good carbohydrates, like some potato salad, or, you know, something that like a salad with some salmon, something that has a lot of water and vegetables to kind of help you prepare, you know, replenish your muscles.
Right, recover. Recovery
exactly.
Food. That's so good. And then you can have your beverage, okay, guys?
Right.
Yeah, then you can enjoy your and have all the conversations. A little food, a little water, a lot of water, and then the beverage. Because beverages of that kind, you know, the whatever it is, dehydrate you. So you're dehydrated. Yes.
Exactly. And these are all things everybody knows. We just kind of have to be reminded to do these things. Again, like a little kid, you have to tell them 10 times. We need to be reminded as well.
Yes, we have to tell ourselves all the time. I love that. I was reading that Bernard Langer, he stretches, he starts his day with stretching, he ends his day with stretching, he probably stretches in the middle of the day.
That guy is amazing. He is amazing. We should all be like Bernard Langer. So stretching afterwards is just as important. Your foam roller is your friend. Think about it. We're always twisting in one direction, and we always have muscle imbalances anyway, because if we're right or left-handed, we tend to, you know, favor one side or how we sit during the day. So you always have those muscle imbalances. So you want to do stretches to elongate the muscles and balance the muscles out so that you recover faster and you prevent injury. And, you know, people are like, I don't have that kind of time to stretch afterwards. But, you know, a lot of us have time to, like, scroll on Instagram for an hour. So, like, instead of doing that, or while you're doing that, get into, like, a nice straddle. And then, you know, you can scroll through and check out your Instagram account as you hold some stretches. Because recovery stretches, you want to hold for at least a minute. That's the time it takes to kind of release the muscle. Or watch golf on TV, you know, when you sit down, try to do a few minutes of stretching. I promise you that'll help you recover faster, prevent injury.
You're wonderful. It's so much fun. It's been way too long. Karen Palacios Jensen, cardiogolf.com. That's where you learn more about Karen Palacios Jensen, cardiogolf.com. I mean, listen, she's a LPGA master teaching professional, all right? She's top 50 female instructor by Golf Digest, a 2008 National Teacher of the Year. She's got lots of information that you need to take in. And, you know, we have non-golfers listening. So even if you're not a golfer, it doesn't matter. This is great stuff because it's for your body. And you want to take, we only get one. Love that.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, we all need those. We all know what to do. We just need those reminders.
Thanks, Mom.
To do it. Exactly.
Talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yes. Aloha. Coming back with Michael Patrick Shields. Yes. I love Michael Patrick. Michigan's Big Show starring Michael Patrick Shields. Travel writer. His columns in Gannett newspapers, GoWorldTravel.com, Forbes.com, TravelTattler.org. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Evilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Evilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all. Aloha. Waipahu and now Evilay. Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Oh, we have some equipment for you. Yes, we do. A Pitch Fix Fusion 2.5. Pitch Fix Fusion 2.5. Best divot repair tool by Golf Digest for consecutive years. It's for you. And yes, yours is on your way. And so we're... You know, the Fusion 2.5 makes ball mark repairs easier for golfers, and you'll make your golf course superintendent a happier person. And so will the guys behind you. They'll be thrilled. Pitch Fix Fusion 2.5, gray colors. All you got to do is be the ninth caller, and the number to call is 545-1111. 808-545-1111. K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home where the Grand Slam lives. Need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghaus, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Whatever your trade, you need more customers. Filling your restaurants, buying your cars, renovating high-rises, using your realty company, buying insurance from you, putting air conditioning in their offices. You need customers. Get them by advertising on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. We have great quality listeners like yourself with ad packages that start at just a few $100s. Call Rick at 808-220-1000 or email him rick@radiogolfclub.com. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com. Our listeners are consumers too.
Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Michael Patrick Shields, our travel guru extraordinaire, Michigan's Big Show, starring Michael Patrick Shields Syndicated, travel writer, columns and Gannett, GoWorldTravel.com, Forbes.com, TravelToddler.org, Michigan Association of Broadcasters. This is the best network radio personality of the year that you're about to hear. And I got a message from Michael Patrick on February 22nd. It came in like this. Still hiding out in Florida, covering the South Beach Food and Wine Festival this weekend in Orlando till after Mardi Gras. Then I head to New Orleans, Nashville, back to Michigan for St. Patrick's Day. Then I'm off to San Diego and Los Angeles for the Academy Awards. My goodness, you do your show every day on the road. Welcome into the clubhouse. You are wonderful.
Aloha, and thank you. And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned all that, because I was just sitting here thinking and listening to your program before I went on the air, and I was remembering a time, I don't know, it must have been 20 years ago, and the way the tour tournaments laid out. There was the Bay Hill event was in Orlando the same week as the Champions Tour was playing in St. Augustine at the World Golf Village. So I split that week between covering those two tournaments. The very next week, the regular tour was in Ponte Vedra at the Players' Championship, and the Champions Tour was way out in Pensacola, right across I-10 and the west of Florida. And I covered both of those in 1 week, going, you know, from one to the other. So that's four tournaments in 2 weeks.
Wow.
And when they were wrapping up out in Pensacola, the rain in Jacksonville had forced a Monday finish for the Players' Championship. So what did I do? Got right back in the car, drove all the way back across Florida in the middle of the night, and got to watch, I think it was Tiger and Hal Sutton, maybe.
Wow.
Down the stretch there on that Monday finish. And it looks like we're going to have another Monday finish this year.
Isn't that something? I mean, it's been like, you were just finishing the first round.
Yeah.
Round one is almost done.
For a while, they moved that championship to May, but they've moved it back now. And historically, I think if you look, you will see that they've always had at least a little bit of weather during that championship at some form or another, lightning, rain, not like this. This is a special one, but yeah, they've always dealt with the weather on this particular week.
Yeah, are you close by, since you're still hiding out in Florida?
I was in, believe it or not, I was in Nashville the other day.
Oh, right.
For a couple of days, and Jim Nance from CBS Sports has now bought a home in Nashville.
Oh.
And you might recall that he was living at Pebble Beach, and he still has that house at Pebble Beach, but he decided to buy what will be his main home in Nashville. And the simple reason is that getting all across the country to as many events as he covers from Pebble Beach was very tricky and problematic. And often it meant, you know, 2 hours in the car just to get to San Francisco Airport and then a flight, you know, all the way out to New England for the football game. And so he just decided with two young children and a lot of life to live that it would be better to be centrally located. So I got to go visit him at his home, and we watched a little golf channel and caught up on things. And I said, you know, Jim, this is Nance Eve. And he says, what do you mean? I said, you're leaving in the morning for the Big Ten tournament, and then you're in the real tunnel. I said, you get the Big Ten tournament, then straight from there to the NCAA tournament for 3 weeks. And then straight from there, as you know, famously, when the championship game finishes on Monday, he goes straight to Augusta for Masters Week and straight from there to Hilton Head. And he said he's doing something like 15 basketball games in 18 days and then straight headlong into golf. And he was driving or flying to Indianapolis from Nashville, and he says, I have to pack for the first round, and I don't even know where the first round is going to be till the brackets come out. He said, so I have to pack all kinds of different clothes. And, you know, and I said, well, it's kind of a first word problem, but okay.
Yes. And you have the clothes to suit any climate. You're right. It is a first world problem. I was just looking at Tommy Fleetwood. He's at the top with Tom Hoagie, and they're 6 under, right? You know when their tee times are for, you know, today?
Well, it must be after happy hour.
Tommy tees off at 5:11 p.m.
Yep.
And Tom Hoagie at 6:28 p.m. How long is it light over there?
No, it's not. Well, it's on the far eastern side of the continent, so they won't get much in before dark, that's for sure.
Thank you. Wow.
Yeah, and then don't forget we changed clocks tonight.
Yep.
So I don't know. I got fuzzy math, so I'm not sure if that'll help or hurt.
Fuzzy math. I have fuzzy math all the time. Probably it won't do. What's an hour? You know, you gain one, you lose one. You guys gain an hour, so there's more daylight, right? So you're calculating this?
Yeah, I guess so, but it's giving me a headache, so let's just move on.
But every day you do your show, it sounds like when I'm listening to your show that you're at home in Michigan.
Oh, well, I'm glad that the ruse is working, but I haven't been in Michigan since Christmas. And I'm going, you mean when you said I'm going to California this weekend, it's to celebrate a rite of spring right after St. Patrick's Day, and that is St. Joseph's Day, when the swallows come back to Capistrano.
Yes.
If you remember the
Capoon
song. And it's kind of like the running of the bulls. I always wanted to go to that because it sounded like a really cool tradition. And so I'm going to broadcast from the swallows returning to Mission San Juan Capistrano, which is just a little bit north of San Diego. And so if you're going to be there, you might as well go down and check out La Costa and see what they've got going on. They've renovated the resort, I understand, and it used to be the home of the PGA Tour Tournament of Champions every year. So I'll have a peek at that and then bounce back up to L.A. and try to get in the mix on some of the Academy Awards action.
Bounce here, bounce there, bounce everywhere. You are. That's why I said you're amazing. So, let me see now.
Well, showing myself a pretty good time, that's for sure.
Well, tell me, why do you?
Not for everybody, but
why do you like the Players? Why do you love the Players Championship?
Because I think it has the most interesting golf course because it produces, as we saw Thursday, the most drama possible. It's a Pete Dye design, and you get to see the same course every single year, just like Augusta National. But the difference is, this is the number one field in golf. It's the richest tournament. And I just think, you know, it deserves to be the fifth major because it represents the PGA Tour, just like the PGA Championship represents the PGA of America.
Yes.
The National Open represents the USGA. So I think it's only fair that a tournament that's now 40 years at Sawgrass, if I'm not mistaken, again, fuzzy math, deserves to be a major. And it feels like one when you're there.
And don't forget it's Alice, too. Alice died, right? Right.
That was very chauvinist of me, for sure. Yeah. Pete and Alice died.
Thank you.
Designed that course. And if it weren't for her, there wouldn't be any Island Green 17th hole.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Don't blame her.
I stand corrected. Thank you, ma'am. May I have another?
So that's just wonderful. Okay. The Swallows, when you wrote that, you know, that you were going to go cover the Swallows returning to Mission San Juan Capistrano.
Yeah.
It took me back to elementary school.
Yeah.
You know, in learning the history of the California and how it was settled as they, mm-hmm. you know, they came up from Mexico and mm-hmm. went up the coastline. Marvelous. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
When the swallows come back to no. Capistrano.
No singing.
You've heard that song. Maybe not performed in that fashion, but you've heard the song.
No, but I love your enthusiasm.
Thanks.
You're welcome. No, we're also here for Paddy's Day. I mean, and it's weird because St. Patrick's Day is like next week, right?
Thursday.
All right. So, yeah. It's normally we're like talking on the weekend of St. Patrick's Day, so it's kind of confusing to me. That's why I'm
well,
all off.
Ireland is reopened, and I'm normally there on St. Patrick's Day, but I wasn't quite sure how things were going to shake out. And I've had a lot of, you know, this pandemic era travel can be a little bit stressful. I went to Havana, Cuba at the very end of January, and there was testing required. And Havana even had you wear masks when you were outside. So that was an interesting and a complicated trip, and I just wasn't ready to sign up for another one just yet. But I can't wait to get back to Ireland, and I would thoroughly encourage anyone who's not been to go. And as you know, that the Irish Tourist Board used to have a phrase, go where Ireland takes you. And I think you should embrace that because, you know, you don't need 36 holes in a day. 18 is fine because it's a real adventure when you play there. And you're going to want to reward yourself next to a peat fire with a pint of Guinness, and especially if you've got some weather while you were out there, which you most assuredly will. But it is the most satisfying. And when you have people who want to know the distinction between Scotland and Ireland, I wouldn't try to do them both. I think you should take each for what they are, because while they are Lynx golf, they're very different culturally.
Mm-hmm.
And Ireland is wild and woolly and more dramatic, and Scotland probably has more courses if you're interested in, you know, golfing your brains out. But if you want epic drama, sea smashed, and the frivolity of the Irish, then I put Ireland on your list, and you'll get to the old course one of these days, but make sure you get to the Emerald Isle.
What are your favorite courses in Ireland?
Ballybunion, I think, would be number one. I like Waterville. Tralee is a tough golf course, but it would be worth going to Lahinch because that's the very first golf course in all of Ireland. And then if you go up to Northern Ireland on the other side of the country and you play Royal County Down, that is very often described as the number one golf course in the world.
Wow.
And so, you know, you could take your time and do all these, and you'll never run out of holes. People like Old Head because it's built on a promontory, and
yes,
every single hole looks at the sea.
Yes.
That's down south of Cork and Kinsale there. You can do that, too. And those are the ones that just come to top of mind. And, of course, they're going to have the Open Championship right again just in a couple of years at Port Rush.
Yes.
So you'll want to do that if you've never played a British Open course.
Now, how long do you recommend people? I mean, you're in and out. It seems like fast. How long would you recommend?
Well, one thing to take into account is that when you see 30 kilometers on a map and you say, oh, we can do that in no time, you can't do that in no time because the roads, particularly in the Republic of Ireland in the south, are narrow, windy, and you might get interrupted by a tractor or a herd of cattle.
Oh, it's the road to Hana. You know,
yes, yeah, the whole country's like that for the most part. But that's okay because, you know, you might say, let's pull over for one. And you might find yourself in a village that wasn't on your map, but will be in your memory forever.
Oh, you put that so well. You are such a writer. You should take that.
I might have to use that somewhere now that you mentioned it.
That's wonderful. Gosh, see, so like 7 days, 10 days?
If you can do two weekends in a week, I know Americans, you know, we're the nation that takes the shortest amount of vacation time.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish we could fix that, and maybe we can with people who can get some work done remotely. But you wouldn't be sorry because if you're, you know, from Hawaii, that's one thing. It's going to take you some time to fly there. But, you know, if you're in New York, it's no different than flying to California. It's not that far because, you know, it's on the far western side of Europe. And so if you can get right into Dublin or Shannon, seasonal service there through the year to Shannon, you will never ever be disappointed. And for those of you who don't play golf and still want to go, you've got plenty of history and culture and cuisine and some of the greatest seaside walks. The Wild Atlantic Way is what they've branded it as, and,
wow,
and it's like being in heaven, really. But Hawaii is that way too.
Well,
so,
yes,
you know,
yes,
good.
It is. Yes, but is the shopping good?
Oh, if you like wool sweaters and wool sweaters and wool sweaters, yeah.
I know what
you're bringing. Don't forget Crystal, which Waterford Crystal, which isn't even made in Ireland anymore. There's that.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, they make it in Slovenia, I think. But you can still go to the Waterford factory if you want, but they aren't really making glass there.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I hate to crush you that way.
Yeah, you
just, it's the world economy.
It's the world economy. Get over it, Danielle. All right. Yes.
I'll tell you one thing that's been stuck in my head, and you could see it if you went to my Facebook page or the soon-to-come articles and those publications you mentioned. But when I was in Havana, I met a couple from Ireland, if you can believe it, in a restaurant. And it was made for lively crack, as they say, which means good fun and conversation. And I looked on the menu, and I saw one of the items, and it was pig's head. And I translated it to the person. I said, what does that mean, pig's head? They said,
well, exactly what it says. I said, get the hell out of here. I figure they're pulling the mick on me, as you might say in Ireland. So I ordered it, and damn me if a tray comes out with a pig's head on it. And it's got the teeth and the eyelashes and all of it.
No.
On a plate.
No.
Yes.
How do you attack that? How does one
eat
that?
I gave it to the Irish people as a gift. I walked over and put it right on their table, and I said, "This is, you know, this is a gift from the North American continent."
It seems perfect to me.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's been a season, all right.
Wow. Okay, so if you're ever in Ireland and you see something called pig's head on the menu, it really is a pig's head.
Yeah. Probably the one they brought with them from Havana because they wanted to show it off. But yeah, that was in Cuba. But you know, what you do in Ireland is you make sure you have the full Irish or the fry up, it's called, in the morning, and that's the greatest breakfast on the planet Earth.
I'm sorry, I got stuck in Ireland and I was listening to Havana. I was still, you know, wandering the heath.
It's
Scotland?
Hard to keep up with me, I know.
I'm trying to keep up with you. You're not easy to follow, you know. You're traveling all over the place. How does one follow you? But Havana, Cuba, what was it like being there?
This is the second time I was there, and this time was much more complicated. And really, I don't advise it at the moment because its conditions are tough, and the pandemic has made it tougher.
Okay.
And the embargo, they call it, we call it an embargo, they call it a blockade.
Oh.
And they're suffering. Like, you can't go to the store and get what you want in the store. And so it's a little tough. I mean, as a tourist, you can do fine. But as an American tourist, you have to be careful. There are lots of rules that you have to follow on things you can spend money on and you can't.
Right.
To use a certain currency. It's pretty complicated. But nevertheless, you know, I like adventure, so I wanted to go have a look, and I did.
My cousin used to come down from England to Havana, to Cuba, for her vacations every 6 months, it seemed. She was going, going to Cuba. Yeah, from England. So I guess it's not that complicated. Maybe it is now. It's all so different.
Oh,
she hasn't traveled
Europeans
in a while.
Europeans have no problem. In fact, the euro is the easiest money to spend there.
Oh.
But for Americans, we've got that political situation,
right.
So it's not so.
Got it.
Yeah.
So I'm just amazed that you find it uncomfortable to travel during the pandemic, and yet you've been like all over the world, and you're on your way to Los Angeles from San Diego. Do you take a train?
You know, there is a pretty cool train that
yes.
goes right from L.A. to San Diego, and my son uses it a lot, and I picked him up on it.
Uh-huh.
But I'll have a car just so that I don't get slowed up, and, you know, I like to wander around and find myself in curious spots.
But
so
you didn't drive across country,
I will brave
did you?
The Los Angeles traffic and take a car. And the last time I was there, when I got to LAX, I had rented the cheapest car imaginable because, you know, those are kind of expensive now, rental cars, with what's going on. And the lady says, do you want to upgrade? And I said, I don't know. And she says, where are you going? I said, the Beverly Hilton. She said, this car you rented, they're not even going to let you drive it in Beverly Hills.
On that note, we do need to close the show and thank the people who make this show possible. Thank you for the giggles, Michael Patrick Shields. You are so wonderful. That's why I love you. Michael
Mahalo.
Patrick Shields.
And,
aloha.
Say this for me. Say this for me if you're at St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
Slánga fóill, Pog Mahone.
Oh, Slánga fóill, Pog Mahone.
Thank you very much. Look it up and find out what it means.
Yes, I have no idea what I just said. Dangerous. Okay. We are very honored to have the support of the Aloha Section PGA. And the best way to get good at this game, golf, is to learn from a PGA of America member. It takes a lot of time and love of the game to become a PGA because they love the game, they love teaching, you'll do good. The Aloha Power Equipment Megastore grand opening is coming. Meantime, Aloha Power Equipment's new megastore next door to the Costco gas station on Alakava in Iwile is full of fabulous finds, and you'll find all the Aloha Power Equipment you count on. riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, and a whole lot more. That's Aloha Power Equipment. MD Restoration. Flood or fire disasters, you need help from MD Restoration anytime, day, night. Call them, 528-3434. They're licensed contractors, so they'll clean up and then they can restore. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2022.